We'll turn for scripture reading to the book of Nehemiah and begin reading in chapter 12 at verse 44. Nehemiah 12, beginning at verse 44, and we'll read through chapter 13, verse 14. So, Nehemiah 12, beginning at verse 44. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, and for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion, and they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, and the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king, and I came to Jerusalem, and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah, in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God, with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasuries. And I made treasures over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest, and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedaiah, and next to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mattathiah, for they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. Here ends the reading of God's Word.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you about the portion we read together, Nehemiah 13. And we emphasize verse 14, Nehemiah 13, verse 14. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. We speak this morning about the Reformation of Nehemiah. The Reformation of Nehemiah. And in the first place, we consider his holy zeal for the cause of the Lord. His holy zeal. And it grieved me sore. All what he saw against the word. It grieved me sore. And let it be our prayer that the Lord grant each of us that spirit. In the second place, we consider his disposition, his feeling, when he was used by the Lord to bring this reformation. For he did all what he could. But how? What was his feeling? That we see very clear out of his prayer. Remember me, O my God, concerning this. Wipe not out my good deeds. And in the third point, we consider his prayer after this reformation. So, my dear children, for you another time, the reformation of Nehemiah. His holy zeal. His disposition and his prayer. Dear congregation, are you really reformed? You know also, my children and young people, that we remember today a very special day, Reformation Day. The world is celebrating Halloween. That's a return to the heathen religion, a time of witchcraft, terrible sign. But the Church of God is remembering today the Reformation Day. And to do that really and rightly, we must be reformed. Are you reformed? Yes, Pastor, we all belong to a Reformed denomination. It's big capital letters. Outside we read Providence, Reformed Church. Reformed. But now, the Lord is not looking to that table and to a name. He's now looking to your and my heart. Are we reformed, renewed in the inward man? Yes or no? What is it? Are you guided by the Holy Spirit? Are you really a child of the living God? Are you traveling on the narrow way to eternal life? Are you seeking really God, Himself, and His glory? Is He the goal of your life? Is His glory the goal of your life? Is that your deepest desire, O Lord, to know Thee, to glorify Thee, to seek Thee with my whole heart? Yes? Children? Or no? My young people? Yes? Or no? Older ones? What is it? Reformed or not? When we are reformed truly, we always feel the need and necessity to be reformed more. You know, the hypocrite is rather satisfied with his life. I do this, I do this, I do this. Not, I'm reformed. But the true children of God seem so many shortcomings. More and more. The more the light of the Holy Spirit is shining in your soul and is healing your life, and the more closer you come by grace to God, who is a light, in Him is no darkness at all, the more you feel your need of reformation. And it becomes your prayer, a living prayer, a daily prayer. Oh Lord, convert me, so I will be converted. That was the prayer of Jeremiah. And he was one in spirit with Nehemiah, for the whole church is one. That's the sad sight of the churches of the Reformation, that they are so much divided, isn't it? It's a mess. It's a great, great, terrible sin. It's really bad. It's one of the main reasons, I think, that the Holy Spirit so much is grieved. For the command of our Lord is that they love one another, that the world may see how God's children and God's servants love one another, are one in their one goal to seek God's glory, to seek the salvation of sinners. And what's visible, you see it. But basically the church is one. That depends not on any denomination. And the Holy Spirit is living in you, reforming you, changing you, working in you the deep desire for perfection, running the race. You have a goal, but you are a child of God. You have the most beautiful goal and purpose you can imagine. The world has no goal. What's the goal of the world? Money. Glory of man. Look at in the whole world around you. Sports. I want to be number one. Vain goal. Vanity. Empty. It's all vanity. Did you see it, my young people? All that's not focused on the glory of God is sin, is empty. Do you feel that? That's the unity of the church. We feel that. We cannot be filled. It's anything but God. His glory, His word, all was His. And it's a wonderful blessing of the Lord that in several times in the history of the world, the Lord raised up man, specially gifted and filled by His Holy Spirit, to be used and blessed by Him for a mighty reformation. And we remember the names of Calvin and Martin Luther and Zwingli and other ones who were blessed and used by the Lord to bring us back to the simplicity and the truth of His wonderful gospel. I hope you know and read their writings, which are still among us. That we may receive the same love, the same spirit, and the same zeal, holy zeal, to be used and to bless by the Lord for a reformation. My young people, I look unto you. The Lord mostly uses young people for the reformation of his church. You know the writers of our catechism, Rosinus Olivianus, 29, 27 years old. How mightily bless the Lord, that little book. You know it all, after so many hundreds of years. And also Martin Luther, he was a young man. Calvin was a young man when the Lord called him to the great work of Reformation. Parents, I look unto you. Are you praying for your sons? The harvest is great, and the true faithful laborers are few. There is a big, great need of a sound, powerful preaching of the word, filled by the Spirit. Powerful. There is a great need in the time in which we live for a great awakening. And the Lord do great wonders by little means, a little man out of the dust, called by him, taught by him, filled by him. No ability in themselves, no worthiness in themselves, but yet used and called by the Lord. Well, such a man was Nehemiah. Maybe not so well known as other servants of God in the Bible, as Jeremiah, Isaiah, and so on, but he was in God's church really a man of great importance. For he had a very nice place in the palace of the king. He was a butler. A place of trust, a place of glory, a place of honor. He felt very comfortable. And then, you know, children, the story. I hope you know your Bible. The king saw Nehemiah's face. You have a problem. You look so sad. It was forbidden. It was dangerous to have a sad face when you serve the king. You must always look bright. The king wouldn't see sadness. He only wanted to see gladness. But Nehemiah couldn't hide it. Sometimes you cannot. Sometimes your whole heart is pain. Sometimes your whole being is filled with sorrow. Maybe your mother sometimes sees it, children. John, what's going on? What's your pain? My sin, mother. I miss the Lord. Happy child. Happy child. Is that your pain? I come short his glory. Is that the pain? Nehemiah, he has such a deep pain of the heart. God's house is a ruin. God's temple is destroyed. God's holy town is cast down. That's his sorrow. The cause of the living God. The sacrifices are not there. The blood is not visible. Christ is not visible. That's terrible. A church full of idolatry. But Christ is not central. But Christ is not visible. That idolatry came in the place of the worship in spirit and truth. That's terrible, my congregation. Do you feel it? There was such a need of reformation in the time in which the Lord raised up a Luther and a Calvin. There was such a deep darkness in the church Everything was all filled and covered with idolatry. And the god which was worshipped was the mammon, money. The biggest, most beautiful church in the world is paid of the money of deceiving souls. When you pay, your sins are forgiven, and we can build our temple. Terrible. And Rome, the Church of Rome, has not yet been changed, really. Sometimes we think that, but it's not true. It's basically all the same. Nehemiah, his heart is full of sorrow. And there was such a desire, a prayer. Oh Lord, use me. Oh Lord, send me. That's beautiful. And there is such a desire in the heart of our young man to be used by the Lord, to be blessed by the Lord, to reform his church, to be a blessing for the church. You know what happened? He went back to Jerusalem. That work couldn't be done. That's impossible. Such a ruin, such a mess. He was nearly alone. But faith, my dear friends, sees no impossibilities. Faith sees God. Faith is only seeing on God's command. Faith is only focused on God's work, God's possibilities. All things are possible by faith. Did you experience it? The power of faith in your own heart? Nothing is more impossible for a sinner who knows himself to be saved. Nothing is more impossible. The whole world can be saved, but not I. Such a wretched sinner as I am. One look on Jesus. It is finished. And what's totally impossible becomes possible in him. That's wonder of faith. That's the experience of faith. And Nehemiah, in the power of God, by the love of God, by faith, he starts the work and he's mightily blessed by it. Oh, a lot of opposition, of course. You can expect that. A lot of enemies. A lot of hypocrites. But yet the work of God is going on. And after some time, you know it. Jerusalem was rebuilt. The walls were built. And after some other time, God's house was rebuilt. Then the priests and the Levites did their work in the house of God. And the sacrifices were brought. And the lamb was slaughtered, and Christ became visible, and the blood of reconciliation became visible in the house of God. And read it. Today, you have the whole day, it's God's day. The book of Nehemiah. That there was a big, great meeting. Thousands of people were gathered, God's people. And there was such a feeling, deep feeling of God's presence. There was such a deep sorrow in the hearts of the people. For we read, the whole congregation wept. Because their sins. Because their many provocations. And then Nehemiah and God's servants brought them the comforting message of the gospel. And show them God's mercy revealed in Christ. And then we read that the whole congregation rejoiced. And that it cried out in such a joy that it could be heard at far distance. That's beautiful. Such a deep feeling of our sins. And then comforted by the Lord himself. Such a bursting out of heavenly joy, so that it could be heard on far distance. Everybody could hear it. So the church became visible. So you could hear the children of God in their crying for their sins, in their praising God for His grace. That's what we need. And Nehemiah went back, served king again. But then he heard after 12 years only, such a terrible message that all things went wrong. The house of God was there, but it wasn't used. That Eliashib, the priest, he had a connection, a friendship with Tobias, the Ammonite, that terrible enemy of the church. Eliashib, a priest who represented Christ, whose task it was to show the people the great love of God in the sacrifice of Christ. He was a friend of the enemies. And if you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. Nobody can serve two masters. At what side are we? Friend of the world. To what Jesus says, the world shall hate you because you are not of the world. When you are seeking God's glory, when you are seeking the salvation of sinners, when you are active in the work of God, the world shall hate you. Nehemiah was terribly hated. They often wanted to kill him. Only for one reason. That he sought the glory of God, that he built the house of God. And was a great blessing for the whole congregation. Enmity. I will put enmity. But when the church and the church leaders are living in unity and friendship with God's enemies, that's a terrible situation. You know, the Pope has visited the United States some years ago, and he was received by the President Bush as a prince, the deceiver of souls, the man who said, I am Jesus Christ on the earth, I'm at his place, I can forgive sins. He was received as a prince, the Antichrist. Half a year ago, he visited for the first time in history, Great Britain. And he was received by the Queen, Holy Father. That's the time in which we live. That our church members, Protestants, are they Protestants? Not at all. That's what happened here too. Eliashib was in friendship with Tobias. And he didn't do what he had to do. He denied God and his holy service. That's a terrible thing. And then there is no power in the church. Then there is no blessing in the church. That all what's happening is work of man. And souls are deceived on the great journey to eternity. And Nehemiah, he hears that. And he cannot suffer it. There is such a holy zeal in him again to bring a new reformation. We must be reformed again. The things were far more worse for what happened. He had not only a friendship with this sore enemy of God's church, for when Nehemiah was involved in the work of building God's house, that Tobias was a real enemy who had only one desire, to kill Nehemiah. And now he heard Eliashib the priest is living in friendship, in unity with Tobias. And what was far more worse, in the forecourt of the house of God, there was all the stuff, all what's needed for God's service stored. The frankincense, all the things which were needed for the maintenance also of the priests and the Levites. And that house is risen holy gold. Eliashib had made it empty. And he gave it to Tobias. You can live there. You can stay there. It's your home. We are friends. I give it to you. That's really bad. That's totally against the word. For on that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Very clearly against the word of God. And you know, my dear children, my young people, everything in our life, also in your life, what's not according to the word, is a curse for you. Maybe you want to do some things, sometimes things, that, why not I? Why not this? Is that sinful? No. Everybody does it. No, my child. It's against the word of God. And your parents, I hope so, they explain it to you out of the word. And are you then willing to accept it? Or do you say, nobody is perfect. We do. That's a bad way. That's the way to hell. That's the way to eternal destruction. That's not the way to the blessing. The way to the blessing is, O Lord, show me thy will. Give me grace to do thy will. Give me grace to cleave to thy word. That my life, my heart may be filled and guided by thy holy word. That's the holy zeal, living by grace in the heart of Nehemiah. The opposite of Eliashib, the priest, God's servant. But it became still worse for what happened, because there was no food. Normally the people collected for God's servants so that they could spend all their time in the house and the service of God. That's an institution of the Lord. But there was no food for them. And there was nothing by which they could serve the Lord in his house. It was all taken by that Ammonite. And the priests and the Levites went out working for their daily bread. And so the house of God was empty. No sacrifice. Christ was not visible. The house was there. The temple was there. But Christ was not there. That's an empty church. There can be a pastor. There can be a congregation. But then Christ is not there. In the preaching, Christ must be visible. His sacrifice, his blood, which cleanses of every sin. Christ must be glorified. Christ is the center. Christ is the only fountain opened against our sins and iniquities. Are you longing for Christ? Young and old, did you come this morning to see Christ, to feel his presence, to feel the power of his blood in your heart, to receive the peace for your conscience? That's God's people. They are always looking for Jesus, my most beloved one. But he wasn't there. The house was empty. So many sermons are empty. So many churches are empty, crowded with people. A band, all what's according to flesh, But we enjoy a nice message, man-centered, but Christ is not there and God is not glorified. God's people cannot live there. Nehemiah, he sees all these terrible things. And then I told it to you. And it grieved me sore. It grieved me sore. And then what he's doing. He's doing something. Speaking only. As Eli did with his sons. And the sanctuary was so terribly hurted. Not so my sons. Not so my sons. Don't do that evil things. And that was all. Never do that, parents, in your family. You have to do the things to do, to take your measures. It's painful, maybe. It's painful for your flesh, but it's needed. And what he is doing, he goes in that house of the Ammonite. And he throws away and casts out everything. He casts it forth. He makes it empty. He makes place for God's service. He's not asking, what are people wanting? What shall they say of it? That's not important. What is the Lord willing? What he is saying of it? And then he said, and I contended with the rulers. Yes, the rulers. We have elections coming Tuesday, isn't it? We choose our rulers. Is the church in America contending with the rulers? That there is so much in society against the word of God? There are so many things permitted, forbidden by God in society, in entertainment, in so-called freedom. What is no freedom at all? It's the slavery of the Satan. I contended with the rulers. Why did you? Why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. The word became powerful. For that holy zeal. The zeal of Christ. The spirit of Christ. You know how the Lord Jesus cast out of the house of God so many years later on all who were selling and buying. All who were making a commercial thing of God's service. And the zeal of thy house has consumed me. His disciples thought about it. Oh, that must be our prayer. That our young people, but also the older ones, that our fathers, that our elders, that our pastors may receive that holy seal and witness powerful, clearly, loving, out of the mind of Christ. And that's our second thought. What was his feeling? What was his mind? The mind of Nehemiah. Of course, that's very, very important. For we see also in religions, all kind of religions, a lot of fanatism. We see also in other religions that people give their life for their faith. Among Buddhists, among Muslims, the young people is made wise when you give your life and you blow up yourself and kill a lot of enemies. You are at the same moment in paradise. You are a martyr. You are a saint. That's what they do. That can be among us too. We have the pure doctrine. We have the truth. We are the man. You are not. You have nothing. and Christ is not in you, when the love of God is not in you, and the mind of Christ is not in you, you have nothing but a natural religion, a natural fanatism, not really different from Muslim fanatism. And Christ is not in you. And you're fighting for your church. Fighting for your church. Fighting for the truth. Fighting. No. No fighting. Praying. Loving. Witnessing. Acting. Out of the mind of Christ. That's what we see so clearly when we consider also his prayer. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds. My good deeds. Wipe not out my good deeds. And in the Hebrew language is a word which is very rich in meaning and signification. It's one word. And in that word is hidden the love for God. O Lord, remember me and wipe not out my love. That's hidden in the Hebrew word. There is such a love for the Lord. The love of God poured out by the Holy Spirit in his heart. And the deepest root of what he is doing and his zeal for God's cause and church, the deepest root is the love for God. He loves the Lord so much. When you love your wife so much, and you hear people slandering her, you cannot suffer that. You cannot have that. It's such a pain in your heart. That's love. When you love the Lord, and the Lord is blasphemed, you cannot have that. When you love the Lord and his church, and you see that so much is against his word and will, and when you love the Lord and seek the Lord, and you see there is in his church such an emptiness of Christ, that's a pain. Pain out of love. You know, the root of true faith is love. I was at a time amazed. Many years ago, I preached in a church in the Netherlands. And I emphasized very strong in that sermon too, the first thing which you learn when you go over from death into life, and that's the root of all, that you start to love the Lord really. Love is the first. Love is the last. Love is everything. God is love, and he who loves is born out of God, and he who doesn't love never saw God. My children, do you say it sometimes to the Lord? Lord, I love you so much. I love thee so much. I never forget that I often heard a very old, fresh, green preacher of the gospel. A nice preacher. When he was 90 years old, he was fresh and green and preached Christ so full and so nice. And what I never forgot, I was young, that he often very simply asked in his sermon, do you sometimes say very softly, silent, in your heart, Lord, I love thee so much. I love thee so much. In this word, when Nehemiah is praying, remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds. He is praying that the Lord may remember that love, may remember his own work. That's the deepest root of all his actions, of all his thoughts. And by love, we are totally changed. By the love of God, we are seeking God. By the love of God, we are seeking His glory. By the love of God, we love His word. We love His people. We love His day. All what belongs to the Lord, we love it. And then, it's not heavy, my young people. Then it's light. Love makes everything so nice. Love is the most beautiful thing. We cannot miss it. And when our religion lacks that love, we are not reformed. Reformation is to love. And in the Hebrew word good deeds, so it's translated in English. In the Dutch there's another word, very similar, but one word. But in the Hebrew, it's more rich. It cannot be comprehended in one word. It must be explained. In the Hebrew is also the meaning of grace. Remember me, oh my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds. It's a deep feeling. What I do, and what I'm unable to do, it's only by thy grace. It's not my nature. It's not my own self. It's only by thee, O Lord. And so the heart of Nehemiah is opened. The deep feeling that I may do this, that I can, that I have no fear for man. It's nothing of me. It's only by God's grace. God is glorified in His own work. You know. And that's what we need. For otherwise we become very proud. Maybe I told you before that John Knox, the great reformer of Scotland, when he was in his last moments, he was tempted by the devil. Very sore. And the devil came and showed him all his shortcomings, all his sins. You are a hypocrite. You never sought really the glory of God. You was always seeking yourself, your own vain glory, said the devil. And he was really, really anxious and wrestled in prayer to the Lord. And the Lord came and delivered him. But Satan came back. And Satan said, wow, you were a great man. By your labors, Scotland is totally changed. Even the queen was full of fear for you. And she saw you. She trembled. The man of God is coming. He has a message. Was true. And so the tempter came to make him pride. And then he was really anxious. Still more than the first time. And said, go away, Satan. All my good deeds, all my bad deeds, everything I did, is all evil. I rely only on the deeds and the grace of my Savior. And so the Lord gave him the victory. That's hidden here too. That Nehemiah, when he prays at the end of his reformation activities, remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds, that what I did only by thy grace, only out of thy love. And you know, in the word grace is always included the need of the sacrifice. In the word grace is always included the deep feeling I know that in me dwelleth no good. That even my best works are full of sin. And makes me worthy to be cast out forever. In the word grace, you feel always the hunger for Christ, for the blood. And now in the house of God, it was visible. The priests were serving. And the sacrifices were brought. And Christ was glorified. And Nehemiah was used for it. Is that not wonderful? That the Lord gave also in our church history, men of God, who were used that in the preaching of the gospel, Christ is in the center. The only Savior, the only hope, the only power, the only foundation of our salvation. Christ glorified. Only grace. Only Christ. Only the Word. And so it was. And that was his deepest feeling when he, after his Reformation work, came to the Lord and prayed, "Remember me, O God." His prayer. Our last day is not far. And the last day of this world is coming very quickly. The time between the ascension and the coming back of our Lord Jesus is only an intermezzo in God's eternal plan. How soon shall we all stand before that great day of judgment? Do you think about it? And then the Lord shall weigh our works in his balance. You know, my dear children, that hand on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel upharsin. Wait, wait, to light. Thou hast not given the glory to God. Remember me, O God. What a beautiful prayer, what an humble prayer, a prayer full of the desire that what he did could stand in that day, that God should remember it as a real good work. You know, my young people, what are real good works? Coming forth out of true faith. Faith working by love. According the word of God. Otherwise, it's vanity. Focused on the glory of God. And that was his deepest desire. That his work should be to God's glory in the favor of God, and that he might receive in his soul the witness of God's favor, that his works pleased not man, not himself, but pleased the Lord. And that's a very spiritual, nice desire. But you are not satisfied what people are saying. You was a nice pastor. You had a nice ministry. We enjoyed it a lot. That's not so important. That you are satisfied with yourself, that's terrible. But that you are looking for a sign of God's favor. That your works pleased and glorified the Lord. That's the fruit of true faith. Remember me, O God. That is my God. That it is right in thy eyes. Wipe not out my good deeds that I have done. Wipe not out. It's so humble, you know. Nehemiah has not a feeling, well, I made it. I succeeded. We reached it. No. Wipe not out. When I look on myself, also on this, all what I did. When I look on my best deeds and my best moments, my best sermons, wipe not out. I'm worthy to be wiped out. When you look, when the Lord considers and looks only on my own works, that's the fruit of true grace. You can build not on anything in yourself, of yourself, what you did, what you felt, what you experienced. Even not God's work in you. For we know in part. And even our best deeds and moments are always mixed with the flesh. So this is a real, real spiritual desire to be remembered in Christ. Wipe not out. I'm worthy to be wiped out because this my good deeds. Only Christ deeds. His perfect deeds. Oh Lord, cover me with Him. That's a beautiful prayer. That's a real prayer. That's what the Holy Spirit is teaching every sinner. Not to build on your good words, but to build perfectly, 100%, on Christ only. And then you feel in this prayer also a desire for wages. Remember me, O God. Oh my God, remember me concerning this. Wages. Is a servant of God looking for wages? Must he be paid? Yes. He is looking for fruits. What will be my wages of 2.5 years service in your midst? The only wages that I love is your souls saved, filled with Christ. That will be my wages. That God may be glorified in you. Remember me, O God. My work is full of shortcomings, full of sins. Cannot stand before thee, but thy work, thy love, thy grace, work in me, work by me. For the Lord used him and the Lord used man in his service to his glory for the salvation of sinners. And that's only a small portion of the wages. What is the wages really? God himself. God himself. Every true servant of God and every true child of God can only be filled with God. The Lord himself. His favor, his love, they are eternal. They are perfect. Remember me, oh my God. And what is so beautiful in this prayer too? The word, my God. That's so special. That's all. My God in Christ Jesus, reconciled with God. For when we begin to know ourselves, and the Holy Spirit is working savingly in our soul, than we see and feel. And that's our deepest sorrow. I miss God. I cannot miss Him any longer. I can miss my parents. I can miss my children. It's painful. I can miss everybody. But I cannot miss God. And I never, never can be happy till I really can say, truly, my God. When I receive God back, my Father, my Savior, my Redeemer, my God, I will glorify Thee into all eternity. Oh, let it be our prayer that this prayer may live in us, grow in us, and that we are blessed and used to the reformation and the benefit of God's church in this world. Amen. Let us pray and thank now. Oh dear Lord, we thank Thy holy name for this wonderful word, Thy word. And we pray Thee, O Lord, let this prayer come and live and grow and be deepened in the heart of each of us, that we cleave to Thee, that we receive such an holy zeal for Thy cause and Thy word and Thy glory, and that it may be our prayer and desire continually to be used and to be blessed by Thee. Out of the mind of Christ, Lord, pardon our sins of this service. Bless Thy holy word to each of us. Bless us when we come together with our young people and children, and when we have to teach them, O Lord, by the Holy Spirit. And bring us back again at the night of this day to have our last service together as an own pastor. O Lord, have mercy upon our little flock and give them a man after Thy heart who knows it from Thyself, who has the mind of Christ, and who has something of what we heard this morning, so that Thy work may be continued and Thy church may be built also in this small part of Thy kingdom. Lord, we are not worthy all these blessings, but we ask it for Jesus' sake, the head of the church. Amen.